Ed and Rizan Ferrelli on 2FM
with Virgin Mobile. Go from scrolling through stories to creating your own. Freedom is calling. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
The world of conspiracy theories has, I mean, it's grown to such a degree over the last few years, with theories running rife about everything from how COVID started to my personal favourite, the theory that Avril Lavigne passed away in 2003 and has been replaced ever since by a body double. So I'm joined on the line now by a woman who is an expert in this area. She analyses how conspiracy theories spread and how they flourish online and how we're all really at the risk of falling down the rabbit hole. She's just released a book about it. It's called Web of Lies, The Lure and the Danger of Conspiracy Theories. Aoife Gallagher, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm great. I have to say, I said this yesterday, I'm so excited to talk to you because I'm just fascinated by the world of conspiracy theories. So tell me about your job, first of all, what it is that you do.
Yeah, so I work for a counter-extremism think tank. They're called the Institute for Strategic Dialogue, which I always say is ironically hard to say. But so they are based in London. They essentially research the spectrum of extremism and disinformation and polarization on a global scale. And then I specialize in looking at the intersection of right-wing extremism, mis- and disinformation, and conspiracy theories. You know, monitor conversations within online communities where a lot of these kind of conversations will flourish. And then we kind of build longer form investigations and research projects to kind of really try and understand these issues on a more fundamental level, while also looking at the way a lot of these communities use platforms and the way that the platforms are essentially letting these communities, you know, flourish and grow, even if their policies say that they're not meant to.
So in terms of the online communities, where are you looking? Like, what kinds of platforms do you go on to monitor these conversations?
Really, where I look at is all the platforms that everyone uses on a daily basis, you know, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, and then kind of alternative platforms like Telegram. Telegram's kind of like a messaging app, not too dissimilar to WhatsApp. And it's become a pretty big hub for a lot of these communities in the past couple of years. Then you have some of the more kind of insidious platforms like 4chan, which are like really associated with extremist movements. And then you have new platforms kind of popping up all the time. It's kind of nearly hard to keep up with the different platforms that are sprouting up all the time in this world.
So when you're on these platforms and you're searching through them and you're digging through the conversations, how do you look at something and define it as a conspiracy theory? How do you know, okay, that's something I need to monitor now?
A conspiracy theory is a theory about a conspiracy. And these are normally based on speculation as opposed to any kind of real verifiable evidence. And the conspiracy theories that I would really look at and the ones that I discuss in the book are kind of based around this combination of speculation and illogical reasoning and seeing connections where they don't exist. And I suppose the ones that I look at tend to be the ones that can kind of spill over into real world harm. Like you mentioned kind of, you know, COVID conspiracies at the start. We've probably all heard stories of people who turned down the COVID vaccines because they thought they were dangerous or they thought there was some kind of a grand conspiracy related to COVID. They either maybe got very sick with COVID or in some really awful cases, they died of COVID because they turned down the vaccine. So that would be an example of a conspiracy theory that really kind of spills over onto the real world.
And I think one of the ways that we hear about these things, well, for me anyway, is through celebrities. And they would have a huge sway in the spread of conspiracy theories because, you know, there are a huge amount of people who would think that anything a celebrity says is gold and they just believe them if they're involved in something. So who's gotten involved in recent times and what ones would you have looked at?
Yeah, I suppose back in 2020, there was a few different ones. I think one of the ones that sticks out in my head is when Robbie Williams suggested in an interview that Pizzagate might be true. And Pizzagate essentially claimed that just after the 2016 election in the US, that Hillary Clinton was running a child trafficking ring from a Washington, D.C. pizza parlor. And I think Robbie Williams was in an interview with someone during 2020 and he kind of suggested that this might be true. So that was definitely one that kind of sticks out in my head.
And can I just say, I know people who started up weekly groups to discuss Pizzagate. And these people are people who I thought were of sound mind.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, that's kind of one of the big points that I really try and make in any interview I do about this and in the book as well, is that we're all susceptible to conspiracy theories. There's this kind of idea sometimes that, oh, I'm not going to fall for this. I'm too smart to fall for this. And I'll never fall for any kind of false information. But actually, our brains are kind of built for it. Like our brains are made to kind of see, you know, what I was saying about seeing patterns and connections where they don't exist. These are kind of cognitive functions in our brain that are essentially tricked. And they also very much play on our distrust in things. You know what I mean? Our distrust in things like politics and the media and different kind of institutions. So we are all susceptible to it. That's the thing. And
did you not get once swept away by a conspiracy theory yourself, didn't you?
Yeah, well, I wouldn't say swept away, but I definitely was into 9/11 conspiracy theories. And I think a lot of people will relate to this because I got into them through two specific films that came out in the early 2000s. And they both kind of put forward this idea that, you know, 9/11 was an inside job and that the US government was in on it and they were, you know, doing it for some kind of insidious reason. And those films were really engrossing at the time. I remember watching them and just thinking, oh my God. And they kind of give you this sense of empowerment in a lot of ways because they make you feel like you have answers to really, really big issues with the world, to the chaos of the world. You know what I mean? And that's really empowering, I think, when you kind of feel like you have that kind of inside information.
So let me ask, did you truly believed the conspiracy theory related to 9/11? So how did you pull yourself out of that?
I suppose I pulled myself out of it, or I kind of realized that it was nonsense when I started working with Storyful. So I trained as a journalist and I started working with Storyful. And Storyful is a kind of online news verification company. When I started working there, I started looking at this, all the issues that I now look at on a daily basis, you know, mis and disinformation online and conspiracy theories. And it just popped into my head one day. I was like, God, I must go back and watch those films just to see what it is about them. And I think I was just a few minutes into it and I heard the voice of Alex Jones. And Alex Jones has been in the media quite a bit recently. He's one of the world's biggest conspiracy theorists, essentially. But I wouldn't have recognized his voice when I was watching these films at 19. As soon as I heard his voice, I remember just kind of laughing to myself and being like, oh my God, that's Alex Jones, you know? So I think that was kind of the moment for me where I was kind of like, okay. And I started getting really interested in what it is about those films that kind of really pull people in, kind of tend to bombard the viewer with loads of information. So you're kind of given something that's true and something that's speculative and something that's a coincidence and something that's false. And, you know, all these start kind of matching together into this kind of one theory, I suppose. So by the end of it, you're like, well, it must be true, you know? It's really interesting.
You have to ask yourself then, what's the motto from that? It's that you shouldn't try and get all your information on a topic from one source.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, people will often ask me, like, what's the kind of solution to this entire issue? Do you know what I mean? With people kind of falling for false information online. And I think that education is always the one that I'll come back to. You know, media literacy and digital literacy are extremely important. And if I had my way, I would have those in schools immediately. I think that, you know, kids really need to know where to find good sources of information and how to look at content online and say whether it's, you know, based on something that's kind of verifiable or whether it's based on something that's false.
I think one of the more recent ones that really captured a lot of people, well, certainly captured my attention, was Capitol riots back at the start of 2021 over in the States. That was the culmination of about 4 years of conspiracy theories online. Like, how does something get to that point?
When I was watching the Capitol riots unfold, I mean, my jaw was on the floor watching what was actually happening, but I was also just not surprised. And anyone who has followed Trump's presidency really closely and followed these kind of movements would not be surprised that this was how it turned out, because his presidency was absolutely defined by conspiracy theories. You know, I mentioned Pizzagate. Pizzagate then led into QAnon, and QAnon has just become this wild, lurid conspiracy theory, spreading the idea that the election was stolen and that it was rigged in favor of Joe Biden.
For anybody who might not know, can you explain, I suppose, what QAnon is?
I can. Yeah. So QAnon started in 2017 when a person or people started posting anonymously online on two message boards. And this person claimed to be a high-level government insider in the US Department of Energy and claimed to be kind of spreading state secrets, apparently, like, essentially. It's a pretty complicated movement, but the kind of through line through it, the belief system that a lot of QAnon followers would believe, was the idea that Trump's presidency was actually part of a kind of secret plan, and that Trump was fighting a secret war against a cabal of elites that were all involved in some kind of child trafficking and paedophilia. It was such a big part of what happened on January 6th, at the Capitol.
But so when you look back at that, you safely say you saw that coming.
I mean, I don't think I saw what exactly played out coming, but you could definitely see that so many people were becoming radicalized into belief systems that were based on complete and utter nonsense, that something big was going to happen. And the other important thing about QAnon is that a lot of people believe that there's going to be this moment called the storm. And the storm is essentially, in QAnon lore, what they say is that the storm is the moment when all of Donald Trump's enemies will be either executed or sent to prison.
What?
And that Donald Trump will bring in this kind of new golden age.
You know what the thing is,
though? Really dangerous movement.
The thing that scares me about this is, I can't fathom if one of those people was one of my friends or a family member. Like, you'd essentially feel like you had lost a friend or a family member, in a sense, to that whole world of conspiracy theories. I mean, would you have advice for people who have lost a friend or a family member? Like, how do you pull somebody back?
Yeah, it's really, really difficult is the first thing I'll say. My top line piece of advice for people is to try and keep people in their lives. There's always this danger if people kind of fall further and further into the rabbit hole, that they will completely disconnect from reality. If you need to put, you know, boundaries in place and say, okay, we don't talk about politics, we don't talk about vaccines, but let's try and stay friends. Let's try and keep this person in my life. That's not always possible. I talked to quite a number of people for the book who have lost people to conspiracy theories like this. And some people just got to the point where they had to look after themselves and they had to say, I can't have this person in my life anymore because it's just so damaging. You really have to be very empathetic. You can't take this approach of telling them that they're stupid and that what they believe is just absolute and utter nonsense. What I really find is that people get pulled into these movements actually for fairly genuine reasons. So, you know, I kind of said before that people's like sense of distrust in the government or their sense of distrust in like healthcare institutions will be the kind of driving force that pull people in. And it's trying to get to kind of that core and really try and understand what it is that they fear that has actually pulled them in.
It's just, I have to say, I think it's absolutely fascinating. Because I think everybody knows somebody who has fed into or likes to regurgitate some kind of a conspiracy theory. So it's just such a fascinating subject. The book, your book, is Web of Lies, The Lure and Danger of Conspiracy Theories. It's published by Gill Books. It's out now. Aoife Gallagher, thank you so much for speaking with us this morning.
Jennifer Zaffarelli.
Weekday morning from 9
on 2FM.